Today's reading is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by people. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, here we are, Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 13 to 20, the second in our little series here. Are you going to lead a salty life, or are you going to be a light of the world? I was saying to one of my elders recently, our job is to be a light that shines into the dark places, that illuminates Christ for people and shows a pathway for people. Our job is not to be a torch shone brightly in someone's eyes that blinds them, that they can't see Jesus at all and they're just offended by what we're doing. So, whew, there we go. Let's jump into this beautiful passage today. It's not many verses, but it's got a lot to say. The Beatitudes are not what we try to be. They're the evidence of a life yielded to God. And so as we went through last week and the Beatitudes and this Sermon on the Mount, it's talking about what it means to have a life that's yielded to God. We need to look at these sayings in light of our walk with God spiritually. See, Matthew is that training manual for the Christians and the early church. And it is so good. It's the, I call it the big apologetic book, the defender of the faith. And it goes through and it uses such rich imagery from the Old Testament into the New Testament. It uses stuff that sometimes we as Christians, because we have our Jesus glasses on and we live on the other side of the cross, and because we don't have this Hebrew heritage, we miss some of the beauty. Well, hopefully in today's sermon, you'll get some more beauty that's inside of it. This week, the sermon, Jesus' sermons continue, and he challenges us. He challenges, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Aha. Now, that's very definitive. See, in the Beatitudes, we discovered that because of Christ and our faith in him, we are blessed. Because of him. No matter what circumstances of that life brings us, now Jesus is telling us in verses 3 to 16 that because we have the blessed salvation pronounced over us, we are to live lives of influence. Oh, he uses salt and light as wonderful metaphors for this because, let's face it, we are influential people. As Christians, we are called to be people of influence. And I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Have you thought that you are a person of influence? You might go, oh, Nick, I'm just a quiet, shy, retiring person. I'm not a person of influence. Yeah, you are. Do you know I have a constant prayer? Constant prayer. I pray it almost every day. And it goes simply like this. Lord, let me be a person of influence to my family, my church, and my community. Let your Holy Spirit be the influence through me. That's it. I'm not always going to be in a position of power, but I am always going to be in a position of influence because the Holy Spirit is in me. Now, this is not me being arrogant. This is not me being rude or contrite about things. This is actually me just recognizing that if the Holy Spirit can change the most amazingly sinful person that I know, being me, if that Holy Spirit can change my attitudes, my heart, my lifestyle, if that Holy Spirit can change so much about me, then surely it can influence those around me because of it. Yep. That, brothers and sisters, is why we are people of influence. And, you know, that's why we're called in to be salty. To be salty is to influence. You think about salt, when you put it on meat, it influences its flavour. When you put it on vegetables, it enhances and influences its flavour. Brings it out. Makes you want more of it. And when you put light to things, you know, it influences what we can see takes away the darkness. It illuminates things. It influences where we will walk. It's good, isn't it? See, you're a person of influence. And Jesus starts his ministry in Sermon on the Mount by saying, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And it's interesting because salt is not a herb. It's a chemical. So to lose its saltiness, it's either watered down or it's had additives put in. So there's two types of salt. One is the sea salt that comes from the evaporation process of getting the sodium chloride out of the ocean. And that's pure salt. So it's either salty, I don't know if you've ever tried that, or it's not. And the only way to water it down or to make it less salty is to water it down. The other one is you can get it from salt mines. And it's nowhere near as pure if you get salt out of salt mines. And a lot of the times what they then did is they'd grind it and they'd try and dilute it and then evaporate and dilute and evaporate to try and get the same level of saltiness. But sometimes that didn't work. And sometimes they needed to add additives to it like gypsum. So it was actually watered down, for want of a better term. And it wasn't as salty. It lost its saltiness. In the context of today, we must realize that a steady diet of worldliness without the Bible, oh, it's okay. We've got to live and breathe this society. So a steady diet of worldliness, but without the Bible reading, the prayer life, the fellowship of believers, can actually lead to a dilution of our faith in Christ Jesus. See, if all we do is say, I'm a Christian, and just go live our normal lives in the normal society without spending time in the Word, without spending time in prayer, and without spending time in fellowship with believers, then I believe you dilute your faith. And if our faith is diluted, then we'll actually be ineffective. We'll be less effective, and then we become ineffective in our ability to act as a preserving agent. And thus we begin to lose our ability to help others taste the good news of Jesus. If we just become a product of society with no Jesus, no Bible reading, no prayer, no fellowship, we become less salty. I think the people realize that. I think Jesus was talking to their hearts. Christianity was not an accessory worn by the early church. It was a life yielded to God. So it wasn't just something, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. It was, I am a Christian. I am a Christ follower. I'm a believer. I yield my life to God. I seek his guidance in all things. There was a thirst for it. Salt makes us thirsty for God, though, doesn't it? Direct statements. No one likes direct statements. Well, in fact, I'm changing that. People do like direct statements, but direct statements can cause conflict. See, no one likes accusations about them. You did this or you did that. No one likes that. However, edification and encouragement best occurs through direct statements. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've done a wonderful job. You have done a wonderful job in how you've ministered here, on how you've loved that person there, how you've cared over here. That type of direct statement, awesome. But Jesus does exactly this to lay down to the people who they are in God's eyes. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And what is salt good for? Well, salt is good for so much. In fact, they used to pay Roman soldiers in salt. That's how good it was. Because salt preserves, it purifies, it flavors, it penetrates, it melts ice, it provides traction, it works quietly, it cleanses, it seasons in many ways. It creates a thirst, it provokes interest, it distinguishes identity. It irritates when necessary, and it even heals. I wonder if the cure for a bland life is the saltiness of the gospel. When people go, oh, my life is so bland, there's nothing in it. Well, maybe they need the saltiness of Jesus in their life. See, you are the salt of the earth. In Hebrew, there's a phrase which is, to eat the salt of a man is to know the inner substance that makes and sustains him. If you had to eat the salt of man, it means you actually know what the inner substance of them is and what sustains them through their hard times. And it's kind of a little bit like us today, isn't it? If someone says, how do you live through a difficult season that you've lived through? How do you do ministry into those hard places? It's not because I'm just a good person or I've got a trick or two up my sleeve. It's because I rely on God and because I rely on Jesus at every point along the way. So, as salt of the earth, we are not the substance that makes and sustains. No, I'm not the substance that makes and sustains. Christ in us is the substance that makes and sustains us and the world. And in fact, when people want to ask me, Nick, how do you do some of the RFS chaplaincy you do in the tragedy situations you go into? Because I've got Christ inside of me who gives me, Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Not I can do all things because I'm a damn good person. No, far from it. I'm not. And I can't rely on myself because I know my brokenness. But I know Christ's goodness and perfection. And he brings that into my life. And there's times I surprise myself. There's times in ministry where I sit there and say, did I just say that statement? Because it's something that has just been a perfect, beautiful statement that has helped a family or a person who's going through tragedy. And I think, yeah, I said it, but that didn't come from me. That was just God speaking through me to that person. Yet we are the salt of the earth, brothers and sisters. Jesus' challenge was against the priests at the time. The priests and the church were not sustaining society with God's message. It was all about them and their rituals. And I think that sometimes our church gets into that today. The church gets so caught up on themselves and their rituals and everything and going through the motions that there is a total disconnect. Just this past week, I was speaking to someone who'd grown up in a church and they said, I'm actually repulsed by the church because of all the rituals I had to go through when I was a child. And it was meaningless. Meaningless, meaningless. Jesus was commissioning the disciples and listeners back to the intention of God's plan and back to the intention of his love and his connection, not man-made rules. And as I read the surrounding material for this passage, two things popped up. First, salt is a metaphor for wisdom. And second, it was the covenant of trust with David and God in particular. And so I think about this salt being a metaphor for wisdom. And if the rabbis saw salt as being a metaphor for wisdom, and they knew that there was a covenant of trust that was in, it was called the covenant of salt, then maybe Jesus was saying, well, do not like act like fools and lose people's trust by getting caught up in the ways of society. Be the salt that brings your community alive. Ah. See, you are the light. What does light do? It clarifies, illuminates, inspires, disinfects, reveals, defeats the darkness, reflects and brightens, shines fully and freely, chases the shadows and gloom, provides pathways and guides, stimulates and motivates, convicts, provokes action, irritates those in darkness, confirms truth, exposes sin and sickness, and it warms and assures of safety. Salt and light, two really powerful metaphors used by Jesus here. But when we become a Christian, we automatically become salt and life. See, that's what Jesus is saying. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Automatically, you become a Christian. That's who you are. It's how we engage our faith that determines if we are salty or if our light is hidden. And so to be the light that illuminates, not the torch that shone in people's eyes that blinds them and annoys them. You know, that's an important thing. Make sure that we are an illuminating light for those who need to come out of the darkness. And then phrase the darkness or the image of the darkness, people who are, you know, living in darkness and have seen a great light. This is used through the scriptures a number of times. So Jesus is, I think, drawing some parallels there. Well, back to Jesus speaking to God's people. Jesus is not saying we do not do good deeds so that people will notice us or praise us. We do the good deeds we do because they will then see Jesus or see God through us. The question we should be asking is, am I salty and am I shiny? In other words, is my life pointing people towards the good news of Christ and his kingdom? So is my life pointing people towards God? That's an important thing, because if it is, then you are a person of influence. See, you are a person of influence. And if you want to be a person of influence, there's a few things. There's a few little tips, and I say this to people. As Christians, there's a few tips to being a person of good integrity in the faith. Firstly, be authentic. People are not concerned about you being perfect. People don't need you to be perfect in every way as a Christian. And you might think, oh, but, you know, I've got sin in my life. Yeah, they can see it. Just be authentic with it. What people really want to see is how your relationship with God impacts you during times of failure and success, in times of good seasons and hard seasons. Just be genuine. Be authentic. That is probably my first thing I say every time. The second thing is be friendly. It's okay to smile and talk to people, even if you don't know them. Talk to a stranger, say hello. There's a few strangers that I've got to know in my own community around here in the last couple of months. I've seen them for years. But now, I talk to them. I say, oh, hello. And they're surprised that I'm friendly. But there's nothing wrong with being friendly. Then loneliness is one of the greatest illnesses our society has. The third thing, be humble. The world's full of arrogance and celebrities, palaver. Humility accepts the responsibility of being observed and seeks to live a life of godly influence. You just accept that you're going to be observed. And that humbles us. The next thing, the fourth thing, is be understanding. Not everyone in our society, not everyone in our families and friends, not everyone in our community is at the place where you're at in your life today. Just understand that. And the last one is be accountable. Not just to Jesus, but the call to love all. The call to love our community. The call to be a Christian. Well, this message of Jesus, this Sermon on the Mount, it's for all people. It's not just for students of theology. See, we need to understand how God sees us and empowers us. And God sees us as the salt and the light. That's right. You and me. We are the salt and the light. A life yielded to God allows us to accept his view of us. And so that's what we need to sometimes do, is actually accept God's view of us. Not our view of ourselves, because I'm going to tell you, I told you at the beginning, I know who the most worst, sinful, broken person I know in the world is. I'm looking at you today, because I know how broken I am. But when I yield my life to God, my ego, my ignorance gets put aside at that time. See, this passage is important, as are the Beatitudes from last week, as is this Sermon on the Mount. As Jesus' ministry is not solely about him being almighty and great, but it's also about helping humanity understand how we are created with a purpose and a plan, and how in God's eyes we are full of value and flavour. And he is bringing the gospel to all, not just to a select few. This is why the Sermon on the Mount is so powerful and beautiful. He's bringing that gospel to all, not just a select few. So this week, May you be the salt that brings out the best flavours life has to offer and leave people wanting to know more about Jesus. And may you be the light that guides and comforts those in darkness. And may you be blessed. Remember that word, blessed. May you be happy and joyous in God. Amen.